Today's daf in Masechet Yomah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Aleph, and we are holding fourth line. Omer of Chista. Ein hakinim mitparshot ela o belekichat ba'alim o besiyat kohen. So we were talking, the only way we got onto this topic over here is because we were talking about the sort of the Kal Vachomer. So we suggested it ought to make sense that if it's possible to make a definition of Kedusha through making a Goral, then it certainly ought to be possible to make Kedusha by declaring what something is and saying this is a Chatas, this is an Ayla, this is a Chatas that, in this case, we're talking about this is the Chatas Hashem and this is the Chatas Lazazel, the Ser Lazazel. So because of that, we got into the question, when indeed, if you're talking about chatas and anayla, let's say by kinim, over there you have to decide which bird is the bird that's the chatat, which bird is the bird that's the anayla. So when, in fact, would we be able to define which bird is which? Because certainly it sounded like when we were saying the Kal Vachomer before, that, whenever you want to, you could just say that this bird is going to be Kodesh, and just like we did over here, go around, no particular time. And yet, Rav Chista says, you can't just at some indeterminate moment say, this bird that I bought, remember you're buying a cane, you're buying two birds for a yoledet, let's say, a zot. So you can't say at some time, no particular time, this bird is the one I want to bring as the ayla, and this bird is the one I want to bring as the chatas. You have to bring the bird either from the Shas Lekicha, because over there it says, V'lakcha shtei torim o shtei v'neyona, or you can do it at the time that Kohen is actually about to do the Avaida. So it says, V'yasa Kohen achat chatat v'chad olah, and that's fine. He determines it at that moment, but you can't just do it in the middle of nowhere. Om Reb Shimi Barashi, my time der v'chista, because on the one hand, it says in the Pasuk, the lashon of v'lakcha shtei torim u'shnei v'neyona, and on the other hand, the pasuk va'asa tam ha'kohen echad chatat v'echad olah. But there's no other time that the Torah mentions our ability to define chatas or olah in the kinim. Now the problem is the braita that we spoke about yesterday, because there it said meitve v'asa chatat. We said ha'goralo sechatat v'ina shemo sechatat. You must make the goral. And if you don't make the goral, just saying this is the Seir Lazazel, this is Seir Lashem, is not going to help you. Sheyachol, the Lashon of the Braita, remember, went like this. Sheyachol v'alodinu. I would have thought, if it wouldn't have said that the goral is osechatat, I would have said it's a Kal Vachomer v'alodinu. Uma b'mokom shelo kidesh goral kidesh Hashem, mokom shekidesh goral anodin shekadesh Hashem. That if in a place where there is no goral, and you cannot use a goral to define what it is that the kedusha is. Nonetheless, you can assert yourself, this is the chatas, and this is the ayla. So kol shekein, when it's a goral, and that is useful, such as in the case of the Seir Lashem and Seir Lazazel, certainly I should be able to just decide on my own, without making goral, right? Therefore, Talmud Lomar, V'yasao chatat, agorelo sechatat, v'in Hashem o sechatat. Now, let me ask you something. We're going to make a Kal Vachomer from what? We said, uma b'mokom. If in a place where a goral doesn't help, like where would that be, for instance? Say to decide which one of your birds is the chatas bird and which one of your bird is the oila bird, right? Okay, so it wouldn't help to do a goral. It would help to do the shame. So then the idea over here is we should learn from there that here it should certainly help to do the shame. Where exactly would it help to do the goral? In the middle of nowhere. It's not the time of Lekicha, is it? It's not the time of Asiya, is it? We're just making a goral. We're not defining it at the moment that we actually bring it as the Korban Hashem. So I understand. Then this whole thing doesn't make any sense. How are we going to make a Kal Vachomer that if the goral works, so we're going to make a Kal Vachomer from the case of the Kinim, let's say, that for sure, the shame should work. The shame would not work at this moment because it's in the middle of nowhere. We already said you cannot choose a time at random and make it work. So what are you talking about? It's simply ridiculous. We're trying to bring a raya from the Goral, which is simply not true. It would not work to say this should be a chatas, this should be an oil. So I can make a kavah chomer from something that isn't so. The only time we can use, according to what Rav Chisid just said, the only time we can use something other than a goral to define the kedusha is either at the moment of the lekicha or at the moment of the asiyah. And that doesn't make any sense over here at the goral, where there is no such moment. So this braita seems to take for granted that Rav Chisid is wrong. Because ahacha, at this moment of the goral, we want to substitute the actual kriyas Hashem. It's neither the shat lekicha, the lav shat asiyah, and nonetheless, the havamina over here, we're trying to learn it out, is what we were going to say, that it could be koveya at this time. Amar Rava, no. Ochi kama. The way to understand it is like this. Umaba makam shelo kidei shagora. But let's restate the Kav Chomer, okay? If in a place where you cannot make a goral, and that would be true, even if it were in the Sha'at Lekicha, and even if it were in the Sha'at of Asiya, it would not help you to try to define which one of your birds is an Eila and which one of your birds is a Chatas, even at those two moments where you normally would be able to define it through saying it. And that is at the time of the purchase or at the time of the actual Aveda of the Kohen. And over there it wouldn't work. So in a case where the Goral is Mekadesh at any time, even where it's neither the Sha'at Lekicha nor the Sha'at Asiyah, isn't it clear that at least you should be able to define, obviously we'd say Dayol of Omin Adin, but at least the information that we have is sufficient to conclude that you could certainly take the Sa'ir Lazazel at the time that you buy it, or at the time that you're about to do the Avaida, or take the Sa'ir Lashem and be koveyed at that moment. Because that's certainly a valid kavachom. That's all that we were trying to do. We weren't trying to say that now at the Shat of the Goral you would be able to do that. And that's a perfectly valid kavachom. And it works also just fine, Aliba Rav Chisda. And that's what it comes to say, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, it says, so chatat, only the goral is oseh chatat, vein Hashem oseh chatat. So drop this discussion because it's irrelevant to our sugya over here. Okay, let me bring a right from over here. Listen to this. We have a metame migdash oni, okay? So this is one of the cases where we have a korban oleviore. The korban oleviore, basically, he is going to define he needs also, in the event that he's an ani, so he's not the ultimate in anias, but he's in the middle. So what he does is he's got to bring also, he goes in and he brings the birds. Now, he was mafrish money for his two birds, to his cane. Now, hashir, now all of a sudden he got rich. And then he says, now we're going to, don't worry about like, why are we putting in all of these pieces? Because we'll see in a moment. Now he gets rich. Now, Lechora Pashtus, once he gets rich, he's not going to be able to use the money that he had set aside previously. He can't use it for birds, right? But he ought to be able, if that money remained undefined, he ought to be able to simply add to that money and bring his normal korban chatas. Remember that if he's rich, he just brings a regular chatas. If he's poor, then he brings two birds, one an oil and one a chatas, instead of that animal chatas. Now, in this case, however, he went ahead, and after he got rich, he defined which pile of money is for his chatas, and which one is for the oil. And it says over there that what he can do is he can add money to the pile of his chatas money, because he has to bring an animal chatas. There's no reason why he can't use money that was set aside for a chatas to be part of the money towards his carbon behemoth of a chatas, right? But he cannot take money that was defined as an ola, even though it was a bird ola, he cannot take money that was defined as an ola and add to it to bring it as money for a chatas. So, now, I don't care about the halacha particularly right now. What I do care about is that we just postulated a case where a guy was at some point or another, he was not at the moment of the lakicha. He had already set aside the money when he was ani. He's not at the moment, obviously, of actually bringing the carbon. And he went ahead and he said, this is the money for my chatas. This is the money for my oila. There's no difference between being koveya the kedusha on the bird, per se, than there is on being koveya the kedusha on the money for the bird. So if Rav Chisda is correct, there is no way that he should have been able to do what we just said he did, in which he just, in the middle of nowhere, decided, this money is for my oila, this money is for my chatas. How does he have a right to do that? That's our question. So over here, look, it's the middle of nowhere now, right? And it says over here, obviously, that he was able to be koveya it. Because, I mean, if you weren't able to be koveya it, what's the problem of just adding to the money, using the money to bring the korban chatas that he is now chayev as an usher? So clearly it worked. But according to Rav Chisda, it doesn't work. It can only work b'shas the lakicha or b'shas the asiyas hakohen. So something's funny. What's going on? Omer of Sheshes, come on. The Braita is obviously all messed up. You can't take this Braita seriously. There's a big mistake over here in the Girsa somewhere because of a Tisbara. I mean, didn't Rabbi Lozer Omer of Oshaya say that in the event that a Tamei Migdash who is currently rich, he would go ahead and he would bring a carbon oni. He would not be Yotze. Okay, so let's think about this. The guy was originally an ani. He had set aside money, and now he became rich. And the case as stipulated in the Braita is that after becoming rich, he decided this amount of money is for my oila, and this amount of money is for my chatas. How could he? What oila? What are you talking about? The guy's not chayav an oila anymore. How can he set aside money for an oila if he's usher and bringing that oila wouldn't have been kosher? You can't set aside money that is not kosher for a carbon that you're not chayev. It's ridiculous. What do you mean? He was koveya it for the carbon ani. So therefore, there's something wrong with the way the Braita is stated, because forget about Rav Chisda. It doesn't make any sense anyway, because Kiva de lo Yotze, if he's not going to be able to bring this carbon, how could he possibly be koveya the money that was set aside for the money for his being over on being nichnas into the Beis HaMikdash when he was Tamei? How in the world would it actually work that it could turn it into an Eila? So if that's the case, given to Lo Yatze, he was not able to koveya. So clearly there's a mistake, okay? So tell me, how are you going to handle a mistake? Elamayis lach lemeimar. You're going to have to throw in the word that not that he was hashir, and then he went ahead and said, this is for my oila and this is for my chatas, but he was hashir, and he had already said. That's the problem. So now he has to use that money for a carbon behema, because now he's rich and he can't bring the ofot, right? Okay, so if any way you need to understand it in that fashion, that it's talking about that he had already said before he became rich. So shekvar amar ma'aniyuto, when he was poor, he already had said, this is for my oila, this is for my chatas. So fine, I mean, once you got to change it, you might as well change it to say shekvar amar, that he said that at the time that he was originally mafrish the money. Well, over there, Rav Chisda says that obviously at the time that you're mafresh money, that's the time that you can define it. So what's the problem? So that's what it's talking about. So instead of saying shekvar amar mi'aniyuto, say shekvar amar mishat hafrashato. Okay, that's all very nice. Rav Chisda's in luck if we have to change the lashon of the braisa. But we only have to change the lashon of the braisa because you said that Rabbi Lazar, Omer Rabbi Oshaya, said that he is not going to be Yotze if he brings that bird. So obviously he can't set it aside for a bird, right? Okay, so Rabbi Chisda works out very well according to that. Problem is that not everybody holds that. Let's say that you would hold of like Rabbi Chaga, Omer Rabbi Oshaya. If you would hold of Rabbi Chaga says you are Yotze. Even if you're rich and you brought the carbon of an oni for Tumas Migdash V'Kedeshav, you would be Yotze. So now do we have to change the Lashon of the Braisa? No. Because he would be able to be Koveya, the Oila, even though he's currently rich. Okay? So then if that's the case, we're back to the problem. According to Rav Chisda, you cannot at some arbitrary moment say that this money is for my Eula and this money is for my Chatas. So how do you explain it? Just tell me how to explain the Braisa according to Rav Chisda. Well, okay, lo tema va'achar kach amar. What you need to say is, it doesn't mean that he said. You're right. You can't say. Because according to Rav Chisda, you can't choose a time to define. But you could certainly go to the store and buy it. If you went to the store and you bought it, that's the Shas Lakicha. So that's what it means. Afterwards, when he became rich, he walked into his store and he bought one for Neila and one for Chatas. That's what it means. That's perfectly reasonable. Wait a minute. So what do you mean he can add money? He ain't got no money. He's only got birds. So how's he going to add money to birds? I don't understand. So what are you saying? He's going to sell the bird? How's he going to sell the bird of Kadesh? He's going to be paid to the bird? You can't be paid to a bird. There's no din of pidyon on a bird. There's only din of pidyon on an animal. So this makes no sense what you're saying. So my Neil, what are you saying that he's meisif umevi chovato? What? The parakle? He's not going to be paid to the bird for money? Ha ain't pidyon la oaf. That's not a very smart answer. Omer of Papa, okay, but it still works. Suppose the guy only bought one bird. So then if he went ahead and he bought a bird, which he was able to define at the moment that he brought the bird, could he define it according to Rav Chisda as an Ayla? Yes, he did, but he only bought one. Now what happens to the other money? The other money is automatically defined as Chatas money, right? Exactly. So therefore, what it's telling me the Braisa is that if he's got Chatas money, how does he have Chatas money? By having purchased a bird that's an Ayla, so then he can add to that Chatas money and use it to bring a Chatas Behema if he wishes for his Ashirot, that he's Chayav a Chatas Behema. But on the other hand, if the single bird that he bought, which he has a right to be Koveya B'Shat Lakicha, he defined as a Chatas bird, he cannot add money to the money that was left behind because that's Eula money. And you can't use Eula money for the Chatas. Very simple. It still works out. It's fine. So, Kegon Shalakach Prida Achat. So therefore, what he's saying like this, if he had bought, the single bird that he bought was an Eila, then that means the leftover money is a Chatas. What do you do with the bird? The bird is an Adava. Fine. So an Eila you make is an Adava. That's not a problem. So hi, Ola, Azul and an Adava. Question whether we're talking about an Adava in terms of a Nidvas Yochid. Tosfos says the Pashta says the Adava means Nidvas Tzibur, and he asks all the questions for the Sukkos we had before. It's not important for us right now. So I Chatas Zavan, but if the bird that he had purchased, the single bird, was a Chatas, so then what he has left over is Eila money. What's he going to do with that? And that, if it would be the Eila money, then he cannot be Mosif. So therefore, the Chatas bird that he bought, there's nothing to do because it's a bird that cannot be used for carbon. The din is a Chatas that can't be used as a carbon is Azalamita. Gufa Amr Abelazar Amr Boshah, getting back to the Machlokas, where Abelazar Amr Boshah said, if the person became rich, he's a Tamei Migdash who is Ashir. And he went ahead and he brought a carbon ani, even though he had previously b'chayav a carbon ani. It wouldn't have mattered. He's not going to be Yotze. And Reb Chaga Amr Reb Oshaya, that he is Yotze. These were the two shittas that we just brought on Amud Aleph. Question is, look at the bright, Meisve. Mitzora ani shehevi carbon Ashir Yatsa. Now this Omnam is talking about a Mitzora. Agreed. And we've been talking up until this point about somebody who was Nichlas Amigdash, and he was Chayim in a Karban Olav Yored. But over here it says like this, if a Mitzora Ani brings a Karban Asher, he's Yatza, and an Asher that brought a Karban Ani is not Yatza. So how do you explain the difference? Why would there be a difference between the Mitzora who was Mitasher and switched his Karban and the other case of the Mitame Migdash Ukadeshav? Says the Gemara, no, there's a big difference. There's a big difference because the difference is that the Torah says by the Mitzora, the Zot Tiye Torat HaMitzora. So the idea over there is that since it says the Chtiv Zot, so if it's Zot, it's this and only this as defined. So because of that, there is no way that in this case you'd be able to be Yotze with the wrong carbon. Really now? Well, if that's the case, if the Torah said Zot, So then it should work in both directions. Why only if the mitzora ashir brings the carbon ani? So then even if the mitzora ani brings the carbon asher, you said that he would be yotz. I mean, I understand it's very nice. He volunteered a bigger carbon. But the bottom line is, if the Torah says zos, what do I care about his volunteerism? The Torah says this is the carbon as defined. So how can you suddenly say that he would be yotze there? So then if that's the case, so then Iyachi Reishan Ami. So then when the Ani brought the Asher, it should also be puzzle, even though he wants to bring a better one. So how do you explain that? Oh, that's different, says the Gemara. Because over there, the Torah also gave us a Ribui. Because the Ribui is that it says the Lashon of Torat. And so wherever it says Torat, Zotia Torat Hamitzora, so fine. So then if that's the case, it's being Marbeh. Well, I mean, wait. So in other words, you're saying partially it's Marbeh and partially it's Mamayit. So we're using our logic to say, look, it's more reasonable that we'd be Mamayit an Usher bringing an Ani and we would be Marbeh an Ani bringing an Usher. Well, the truth is that it does say that. It says in the Brayta, Torat means that adds a Mitzora Ani that brings a carbon Usher. You might think if that's the case that it would work in the other direction too. So Yachal Afilo Ashir Shevi Korban Ani. There it says Zot. Fine. So Rashi says, okay, now use your brains, obviously, to make the decision which one is which. I mean, there's such a thing as Sechal Yosher. Just, I mean, I can't prove it, but it's the most logical approach, isn't it? But so wait a minute. So why can't we learn from here? So Leilif Mina, you're telling me this case of Mitzora is different. And it will not apply to the case of the Metame Migdash. I mean, why can't we just learn out of here? Why is there a difference between a carbon oil of a Yored of a Metame Migdash and a carbon that is different for an Ani or an Asher in the case of a Mitzera? Says the Gemara, because the idea of the Mitzera, it says specifically, V'imdal hu, this halacha, where we're saying that the idea of the Mitzera Ani is only kosher for someone who really is an Ani, is limited to Imdal Hu, which is a reference to the Mitzera. But it could very well be that in cases of, let's say, carbon oil for Yorid by Matami Migdash for Kadesha, so over there, a poor person's carbon may be kosher even for an Adam Asher. And that was good for the Machlokas that we had, was how exactly to apply these psukim. Now we are ready for our Kapitan, assuming he's not hiding behind that. Ah, there he is, hiding behind a favorite, famous name. But it's the real man. It's the guy that's on the Facebook group. We remember Richie's Pizza. Oh my gosh, it's actually the guy himself. Tell us, dear Richie. Thank you. So we're up to the next step. Okay, so he did the Hagrala. Now we know which one is which, and we also know that it's time for us to go and do the Vidui on his par. But first, before he does his Vidui on the par, he ties a Lashon Shazuhurit Berosh Sa'ir HaMishtalayach. So he ties a red, the strip of bright red dyed wool onto the head of the Sara Mishtalayach. And this we learn out from the idea of Im Yuchata Echem, Kashaning Albino, but we want to put it there to make sure that we don't get confused. This is the carb that's going to be sent out to the Mishtalayach. And then we take the Sara Mishtalayach and we put it right at the gate where we're going to be taking it out through Shar Niknar so that it be ready to be removed. So in other words, until now it was facing, as we saw, it was facing towards the Heichal, and now we turn it around so that it's facing the Shar Niknar and it's ready to go out. And La Nishchat, now this is a very unclear statement because it could mean two things. V'la Nishchat k'neged Beit Shchitato. So that could mean we take the other, the Soyer LaHashem, which is about to be shechted, and we put that one, maybe it means k'neged Beit Shchitato, we stand it up right by the place where it's going to be shechted, similar to He'emido Kineged Beit Shiluchu, but it could also mean that it's going back to the first part of the sentence. Kosha Lashon Shel Zehiru. Where did we put the Lashon Zohrid? Berosh Sa'ira Mishtaleach. And we also tie a Lashon Zohrid on the other one. But this one we don't put on the head. This one we put on its neck, Kineged Beit Ashrita. Maybe that's what it means. We'll see in the Gemara. Okay, when we finish that, the Kohen Gadol now comes back to his par again, because remember, we had the same pasuk twice, in which it said that he was supposed to be chiper ba'ado ba'ad beito. And this time, the beito is understood as a reference to the entire mishpachas ha'kohuna. So again, he does the smicha, somech shteyadov alav, umitvadeh. V'kach haya omer. Ona Hashem. Now, if this is not to be a contradiction to the first Mishnah, where we were going like Rabbi Meir, so then we should say, Ona Hashem aviti pashati chatati lefanecha ani uveiti uvnei Aharon am kedoshecha. So to make it consistent with the sheet of Rabbi Meir learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, we say the same lashon again, not chatasi avisi upashati as it appears, but avisi upashati chatasi. Ona Hashem kaperna lavonot v'lapshaim v'lachataim she'aviti v'shepashati v'shechatati lefanecha ani uveiti uvnei Aharon am kidoshecha. Kakatu b'torat Moshe avdecha ki v'yom hazeh yechaper alechem letaher etchem mikol chatotechem lifnei Hashem titaru. And since they hear the Shem Hashem, Bemfurash three times, Himonim Acharav Baruch, Shem Kevod Machuto, Leolam Va'ed, as we learned out elsewhere, Shem Hashem Ekra, Hovu Goda Lelokeinu. Iboilo, how do we read the Mishnah? Was the Mishnah referring to V'lanishchat, what we do to the Sawyer that is going to be Shechted as the Sawyer Lashem? Was that referring to where we do Kishira? Where do we tie the Lashon Shel Zohrid Kineged Beit Shechitato? Or was it referring to Ha'amada, that just like we stood the Sar Mishtaleach facing the gate where we're going to send it out, we then face the Sar Anishchat towards the place where we're going to Shecht it? I mean, very different meanings. Well, says the Gemara, take a look at the Brayos of Rabbi Yosef, it'll be very clear to you. The Tani Rabbi Yosef. Kashar lashon shel zohrid berosh sa'ira mishtaleach ve'hemido kineged beit shilucho. So far, same lashon. Ula nishchat kineged beit shchitato. Okay, so far, no raya, but look at these next words. Shelo yitarev ze bezeh ve'lo yitarev b'acherim. We want to make sure that these two seirim do not get mixed up with each other, and furthermore, that they do not get confused with any of the other seirim. Remember, there's a lot of korbanos there for the mutzaf and so on. We don't want anything to get mixed up. So now, look. I mean, this only makes sense if you're going to tell me that it's talking about where I tie it, not where I stand it, you see. Because if you tell me, Iyamit Bishlama, that we're talking about in the Mishnah, about, and in the Brayot, of course, as well, that you're talking about where it is that you should be tying a red string around the neck of the Sa'ir Lashem, okay, then it makes sense, because then there's no way for them to be mixed up, because the Sa'ir Lazazel has the red string tied to its horns, and the other one has it tied around its neck, and there's no way to get it mixed up with any other Sa'ir, because they don't have anything tied to them. So they are obviously neither the Sa'ir Lazazel nor the Sa'ir Lashem. Okay, then that makes perfectly good sense, which is what Rabbi Yosef was saying. But if you're going to tell me that all that it's referring to is where we place it, it's not referring to where we put a Lashon Shel Zohrid. There was no Lashon Shel Zohrid on the Sa'ir Lashem. So then when it says Beit Shechitato, it means we put the animal at the place where it's going to be shechted. So then how do you achieve its never being able to be confused with any other Sa'ir? I don't get that. I mean, yes, I understand you can't get it confused with the Sar Mishtaleach, because one does have a red string and one doesn't. The high katerbe, the high low katerbe. But how in the world are you preventing it from getting involved in a mixture with any other Sa'ir? Bachrini miyet miarve. El alav shmamina akshira kaiser. Clearly, even though this does not seem to be like intuitively what the Mishnah was saying up front, but that's the only way that it could mean it. So shmamina akshira kaiser shmamina. So now it turns out that there's actually lashon zuhurit on both of the seirim, both the seir lashem and the seir lazazel. Omer Rebbe Yitzchak. Now, I was mekabel from my rabbeim that there were two shiurim in the Lashonos of Zuris. One of them was the Poraduma. One of them was the Sora Mishtaleach, because the Torah does say beferish that you need the a Lashon Shal Zurit on the Poraduma. And I was taught this difference. One of them requires a shiur, which we'll see later what that shiur is, but it has to be of a certain weight. And one of them does not require a shiur. And I can't remember which one is the one that needs a shiur and which one is the one that doesn't have a shiur. Omer of Yosef, well, I think we can figure that out if we use our noodles. Nirzeanan, look, I mean, consider. The Sora Mishtaleach is going to end up being tied to two different things, because we're going to end up needing to split it to tie it onto a rock, as we're going to see later on. And, okay, so if that's the case, if it's boy chaluka, then that means it's got to be big enough to have a significant piece that's going to be tied to the rock, and a significant piece is going to be tied to the head. So it makes sense that we need to make sure that it's large enough to do that. So since it's boy chaluka, that must be the one that requires the shear, whatever that shear is, which we'll learn later. Mashenke, the Poraduma, doesn't need any kind of chaluka, so that must be the one that doesn't need the shear. Makes sense. Maybe it makes sense to you. But, I mean, there's a good reason for me to say that the Poraduma actually needs a shear, because it needs kovet. You are trying to throw in something light into a big fire, right? So you have to throw it into the El Toch Sreifat HaPorah, is the Lashon HaPasuk. Toch Sreifat HaPorah means you got to get it in there. You got to get it into the fire. Now, if you don't have enough weight, when you throw it towards the fire, the first thing that's going to happen is it's going to catch on fire and float away, right? It's not going to fall into the fire. I mean, this is finely combed wool that has got a tremendous amount of surface that is burnable. So unless it really weighs something, how are you going to get it into Toch Sreifat HaPorah? So, I mean, I could suggest the opposite. I could say the one that needs the bigger shear, where I'm worried, is the one that's going to be put in the Porah Aduma. So I don't see why you're saying that. Omar Le'Rava, well, I mean, not everybody holds that you need the COVID. Because the truth is, Kovet is a machlokes tanoim, and Rabbi Yosef was taking for granted that we go according to the Man D'Omer that holds, as we'll see, that it does not need Kovet, it does not need to fall deep inside. And because of that, what he said makes perfectly good sense. Assuming that you hold like the Man D'Omer, that's lo boi Kovet, so then he was right in concluding that it must be the one that's on the Sora HaMishtaleach. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. Let's say you're right, and that there was an excuse for why Rabbi Yosef said this. But even so, it doesn't make sense, because it's true that you have to split the one for the Sar Mishtaleach, but a little bit around the rock. But the Poras also has to be split into two. How do you know? It's Esvei Abaye, I'll show you. Take a look. The Mishnah in Poras says like this. Ketzad hu oseh. So what exactly do you do with all of the different ingredients over here? So you have the ezov, and you've got, besides that, and you've got the wood that you have there. And it says over there, you take the eight eras together with the ezov, together with the actual red wool that you have over here that we've been talking. And it says over here, you wrap the eight eras of ezov in Shiarei Lashon. Now, Shiarei Lashon means in the leftover part. What leftover part? So apparently there's a leftover part, which must mean that we have actually split the poras Lashon Chazuris as well. So we have a smaller part and a bigger part. Take the smaller part and wrap up the Eitz Erez Ve'ezov Shnitolat in it. So apparently you do need to actually split the Poras Lashon Chazuris just as much as you need to split the Sarah Mishtaleach. So Rav Yosef doesn't make sense no matter what approach you take. Forget about the COVID. It's exactly the same as the splitting. Now, then, when it says over there, Shiore Lashon, you know, you want me to pronounce it better for you? Znav Lashon. Znav Lashon means the tail. In other words, when you're sitting, you're taking wool and you're combing out wool. So what happens is you get towards the end. Obviously, you have like little strands. It forms basically a tail. That's what Shiore Lashon means. It doesn't mean separate pieces. It just means if you're going to throw them in, you want to throw them all in together. You tie them together with the part that is not thick, so it's easy to tie. So now you've got the Eitz Erez, the Ezov, and the Shnitolat. You have all of these together. The Shnitolat is what we're calling over here, the Lashon Zihuri. Tolat is the name of the worm that we get the coloration from. And that is what it's referring to. We still use red colorations from those insects, as you know. One of the big shilas about the red coloration on the food colorings. I'm sure you're aware of all of that, right? Red coloration on food coloring is made out of insects, just like the Shnitolat. Anyway, so, okay. So therefore, we're fine with Rabbi Yosef as long as what we're talking about is, according to the Man D'Yomar who holds, that you do not need COVID. Om Rabbi Chonin Omar Rav. Eitz Erez Ushnitolat Shekalatatan shall have it. Now, this has a lot to do with this issue. Suppose I throw in Eitz Erez Shnitolat and they burn up in the flame before they get into the actual Sreifas HaPorah. I say that it's kosher, because as long as you threw it into it, it doesn't matter whether it landed or not. Ask the Gemara, what are you going to do with this other brisa? Meitveh. Nitav heva lashon, mevi lashon acher mikadesh. If it got burned in the middle of going towards it, so it's over there, it's in midair, you have to bring another lashon shazurit and do it again. This word mikadesh is a little bit confusing. But as Rashi explains, everything that is done for the Pora Aduma, including mixing the waters and the ashes, so on, it's all called mikadesh. Because what it means is this, the mixture that you make, that is the way in which Pora Aduma becomes usable. That's called kiddush. So all it means over here is you bring another Lashon Shazurits. Okay, fine. So how do you explain the contradiction? I mean, you said, Reb Chanin, you said that Rav said that it doesn't matter whether it burns up in midair, and over here there's a braisa that says it matters very much. You're going to have to bring another one. Amar Abaye lo kasha. It's not a problem. It depends what kind of fire we're talking about. Kan bekolachat and kan benichfefet. The braisa is talking about where there's this enormous flame that is very high, and you try throwing it towards that, it just burns it up way above the Sreifas HaPara. So by no stretch of the imagination could I call that El Toch Sreifat HaPara. That's the point. Whereas what we were talking about is Nichfefet. Rav was referring to the case where Chani was quoting Rav. Rav was saying that if, look, you've got like a flame, it's not a big gigantic fire, it's almost like a down at the level of the meat itself that is burning. You throw in the Eitz Erez Ve'ezov Shnitolat, and as it's getting onto the actual body of the Pora Aduma, it's already singed in the air from the flame that's around it. That's okay, because if it's Nichpefet, so then that Rav holds, that is the Sreifa Sapora. So Sapora doesn't mean I have to touch the body. It means that when you see the flame that's associated directly with the actual burning animal, then that's the Sreifas, that's the Toch Sreifat HaPara. Fine. So that's how I would explain it. Rava says, okay, this is dependent in the Machlokas. Remember we said 3 minutes ago, COVID is a machlokes, not a virus. And therefore, what we're talking about over here is that COVID is tanoihu. Didn't I just say that there's a machlokes about whether you need COVID or not? Okay, this is exactly what it's talking about. The Tanya, lama korchan. So there's a big machlokes here. Why does it say that you have to wrap up the Eitz Erez and the Ezov in the Shnitolad? So Rebbe says the reason is because the Torah mentions them all together. So the Torah mentions them all together and wants them to be in one bundle. So Gedeshu Kulam Baguda Achas, Divrei Rebbe. But Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Shimon says, no, it's because we're makbid that it has to fall all the way down. It can't be burnt up in midair and blown away basically by the heat of the flames. That's the point. So Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, I mean, that's the whole point that I explained to you before. So therefore, according to Rav, he says it doesn't matter if it gets burned up in midair. It has nothing to do with how high the fire is. He holds like Rebbe. And Rebbe, who says we don't need COVID, must be we don't need COVID because he doesn't care if it's burned up. Even if it's in the middle of coming on down, it makes no difference. Whereas the bride that says, no, you're going to have to bring another one. That's going according to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, who says that indeed it needs COVID. And that's exactly the point that we mentioned earlier when we said that Rebbe Yosef was bringing a raya, not a raya, but he was talking mitzad hasfara. And he said, look, it makes sense that the pora is the one that can be light, and the Seir HaMishtaleach is the one that has to be heavy because there has to be enough to split. And we asked on him, what do you mean? But don't we need it also to be heavy for a different reason, not to split it, but we need it to be heavy in order to fall. And I said to you, that's a Machlokes Tanoim. This is the Machlokes Tanoim I was referring to. Does it or does it not have to actually fall into the fire? That's the question. So according to Rebbe, who says, the only reason you got to worry about wrapping them all together is because the Torah mentions them all together. So it's like a lulav, you know, so you want an aguda. The same thing is true over here. According to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, we actually want the weight. And that is the machlokas that I mentioned to you. So we've been talking about two cases of a shnitolas, of a lashon shazuhurit. The fact is, though, that there are three places in the Torah where there's a lashon shazuhurit. And, by the way, if we just explain the Mishnah as saying that we need a lashon shazuhurit as an identification on the sa'ir la'ashem, then there's four places in the Torah where there's a lashon shazuhurit. Okay, but there's three places where we have the Eitz Erez, Ezov, and Shnitolat. So those three places are, as Kiyasar of Dimi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, well, I heard from my Rebbe that there were three different shiurim of Lashonot that were read, and one of them was the Parah Aduma, yes, which you mentioned. One of them is the Sar Mishtaleach, yes, which you mentioned, but nobody has mentioned that the Mitzayra, it says, Shni Tolat Ve'ezov. So what about that one? So one of them is the Mitzayra. Now, I also got confused because there were three different weights that were associated with these three different Lashonais. And this is what I was taught. One of them is Asara Zuz. Asara Zuz is 2.5 Selah. And one of them is Shnei Slayim, which is 2 times 4 of the Shkalim, which is 8. And one of them is just 1 Shekel. I can't figure it out. And in the Farish, I don't know which one is which. So, Kiyasa Ravin, Pirsha Mishmeda Rabbi Yonatan. Ravin came and he said, I can tell you what Rabbi Yonatan says about this. Very straightforward. The Pora Aduma, he holds, needs COVID. So, if it needs COVID, it has to actually weigh. It's not the amount, it's the weight. So, that's the one that you can assume is the highest weight, which is the 10. So, that's 10 zuz, 2.5 slime. So, there it's Mishkal Asara zuz. The Sarah Mishtaleach doesn't require weight, but it requires size, which weighs, because we need to make it into two parts. So fine, over there, you need 2 slayim, but that's enough. I don't need it to weigh more. So Shnei Slayim is enough. When it comes to the Mitzerah, I mean, whatever, it just needs to be noticeable. So over there, even 1 shekel is enough. So Shal Mitzorah, Mishkal Shekel Echad. Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, there's an interesting in the extreme machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta and the Rabbanan about the Pora. Because one of them says the Pora is the heaviest one. So obviously, they hold that it needs the Kovet, and that means that it would be the Asar Azuz. And the other one says, no, on the contrary, the Pora is the one who doesn't need anything, and therefore even a Mishkal Shekel. Now, just to make sure you don't get confused and think that they were arguing about the middle amount, the siman to remember the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan, between the Rabbon and Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, is Echad HaMarbeh, the Echad HaMamit, Ubevach Yechavein Libo L'Shamayim. So that way you remember that what we're talking about over here is one extreme to the other, HaMarbeh or HaMamit. But nobody suggested in the middle. Omele Rabbi Yirmi and Bediftel Ravina, you got this all wrong, my friend. That's not what it was about. Okay, they weren't arguing about the Pora. They were arguing about the Sar HaMishtaleach. That was the question. And the issue over there was whether this could be the lightest or whether it needs to be the heaviest. And I know for sure, because I can tell you how I remember, that day that Machlokas was going on, that was the day that we found out in the middle of the Machlokas that Rav Yehuda Bar Kisi was Nifter. And so, Ahu Yuma Nach Nafshi, the Rav Yehuda Bar Kisi. And that at that time, we said to ourselves, oh, you know, Rav Yehuda Bar Kisi is Mechaper like the Sarah Mishtaleach, because the Misa Tzadikim is a Kapora. So therefore, we wanted to, we remembered it that way. That since this was the day Rav Bar Kisi was Bechaper, that was the day that we were talking about the Sar HaMishtaleach. And the Machlokas that we had was not about the Parah.